Welcome, welcome, welcome. Those are the Junior Calypsonians from King Derby, the Monarch on St. Croix, Virgin Islands. And you hear those banjos? Those banjos are banjoing, aren't they? And those are students that are from elementary school to junior high school. They were performing at this VI cultural event that was sponsored by the delegate to Congress, Stacey Blaskett's office. And the program was just beautiful. They were wrapping up VI History Month. I was out there. It was a great night. They had storytelling, of course, the banjos, and they had Miss St. Croix, all kinds of local activities and treats. So it was just a very good day and a nice way to wrap it all up. So anyway, we're on episode 3 of the podcast, VI Headline Rewind. And in this episode, we will dive into vintage newspapers from 1884 and 1920 and maybe 30s. We'll focus on the advertising strategy used for the vitamin mineral supplement craze of the 20s that was Nuxit. And we'll take a closer look at the passengers traveling into and out of the Danish West Indies. Yes, people were traveling. They were moving around. And let's uncover some intriguing public notices and much more. Get ready for a journey through history with Shelley DeWeese, rewinding the headlines. Okay, so let's get started, get right into it. So here's an advertisement for this organic iron medicine. And this is what it says, and I love the advertisement. Okay, this is front page news for the St. Croix Avis, and this is around 1920. Okay, and it's Distributors Apothecary Hall in St. Thomas. What kind of blood have you? Thin, pale, and watery? Keeping you weak, nervous, and run down, or rich, red, healthy blood with plenty of iron in it to give you strength, energy, power, and endurance. Okay. Physicians say iron is red blood food. Explains how Nuxated, iron master strength builder of the blood, helps give renewed vim and energy to men and puts roses into the cheeks of women. Okay, look at that strategy, huh? If you tire easily, if you look pale and haggard and worn, if you feel generally weak, nervous, and run down, right? Well, you need to look at a drop, put a drop. They're saying it would probably astonish you to look at a drop of your own blood under a powerful microscope and compare it with a drop of pure, healthy blood rich in iron. Actual blood tests show that a tremendously large number of people who are weak and ill lack iron in their blood, and that they are ill for no other reason than a lack of iron. Iron deficiency, okay, paralyzes healthy, energetic actions, okay? And it pulls down the whole organ and weakens the entire system. That's what they say. That's right. That's what was going on back there. So that product was Nuxated. And I want to tell you, you know, they had this thing where, you see the strategy? I mean, everybody, aren't you feeling kind of like that? You know, weak? energy. But look at the tests, and they had this way of this is how they did it, right? This was a test. So make this test yourself and find out where your blood stands. So see how long you can work. How about that? See how long you can work or how far you can walk without becoming tired. Next, take 2 5-grain tablets of the nuxated iron 3 times a day after meals for 2 weeks. Then test your strength again and see how much you have gained. Numbers of nervous, run-down people who are ailing all the while have the most astonishingly increased their strength and endurance simply by taking iron in the public form, in the proper form. So I said, wow, you know, this was a big craze, not only here in the Virgin Islands, it was also in the States. And in fact, they have the little bottle of this organic iron supplement in the National Museum of American History. So I guess you can see that whenever you're up in the States, New York, huh? And New York state of mind. But I said, let me look at Google and find out, well, what is this nuxated iron? I hope I'm saying it right, nuxate. But nuxate iron pills, as endorsed by Dempsey, were obviously iron supplements. And as for the nuxated part of it, that refers to nux vomica, a deadly substance better known as strychnine. That's rat poison, for an example, right? Fortunately, the stuff being hawked actually contained very little strychnine and not much iron either. So it was the craze. That's what was going on. And I don't know, I didn't research it further to see how long that went on, but maybe in the 70s, 80s, but you could see these little bottles and, you know, that's how folks did. You know, you were lacking. And today, you know, they'll just simply say, you're lacking vitamins, you're lacking minerals. But the new thing is, right, that everybody's lacking water and sleep, huh? You know, you got to be hydrated. You have to get enough sleep. You need hours of rest and sleep. And I guess there might be some, I don't know, you know, what's going on. There's medicine for that there, but that's today. It's the lacking of, and still a lacking of minerals and vitamins. But I thought it was pretty entertaining to take a look at the strategies that they used back there. And I love the test, you know, walk as far as you can, till you get tired. And that'll tell you, you're lacking iron. Okay. So let's take a look at, what do we want to look at? We want to look at let's look at the public notice, huh? Let's get a little serious, right? Okay. I mean, that was serious, really. Okay. So here we're going to look at the public notice in the St. Croix Avis that was published in about 1920s. Okay. And in this public notice, they're looking. A notice is hereby given that the annual examination of applicants for teacher's license will be held on April 4th, 6th, 7th, and 8th, 1925. Okay? They had to go get their a license to be a teacher. And any citizen of the United States or of the Virgin Islands over 16 years of age, okay, who is known to be a person of good moral character, is eligible to sit at these examinations. Information regarding the said examination may be obtained from the Director of Education or the Assistant Director of Education. And that was, at the time, Arthur F. Lindborg. I love using some of the names because a lot of these names are still around here in the Virgin Islands. So there you got it, huh? Teachers they're looking for. And, you know, at a time you thought, well, golly, I thought my teacher was still old. She's still hanging out. And a lot of times they started very young. In this case, you could have been 17, I'm sure, 17 years old, start teaching. And they'll get their 40 years in, believe that. So here it was, they were looking for teachers back then. And they had to come in and take that examination to see what was that. So now I want to look at the, you know, when you look at, I love looking at letters to the editor, because this is when you find out the hearts and minds of Virgin Islanders. What's on their mind? What are they talking about? Okay. And so here we have, in the same vintage newspaper, the Avis, "Dear Mr. Editor, a chapter out of Tribune. The Pharisee prayed and said, I thank thee, O Lord, that I am not as you, a publican, for I alone do praise myself, and I am handled dirt to smear them." What a read, huh? It says, thanks. A.H., whoever A.H. is. So, and then you have today, you got to use your whole name, right? You can't be putting up initials no more. You better put that whole name out there. And dear editor, here's another one. Is it not well-timed for a court proceeding to point to a brand new industry to keep our youth at home by mongoose raising? It is perhaps possible by a good chicken diet to raise them to a size where their hides could be faked for mink skins for a considerable more than 10 cents per teal. Who else in this blessed country would also start a mongoose controversy? So that's, you know, that's S-H-A-H again. And he's, you know, putting out, letting us know what's on their minds. They're trying to keep the youth home. And that's something we reminded today. We're still trying to keep our young people to, you know, we want them to go away, but we want them to come back because they got so much to offer. Now, here's local entertainment. The vaudeville entertainment given last night at the Christiansted Theater by a company of Marines stationed at St. Thomas was in every way a success. The audience was a large one, and all who took part rendered it nicely. The crowd was kept in roars of laughter from beginning to end. So that was a very good time. That's what was going on there. And now as we switch over, let me go over here to way back. We're going back to 1884. That's right. And we are going to look at, as promised, the passenger list to see who's arriving into Christiansted St. Croix and Frederickstead St. Croix. You know, we have, they call it Twin City here on St. Croix because we have two towns and both towns have the same street names. So if you say, hey, I'm going to meet you up there on, let's meet up on Fisher Street, you got to say, is it Christiansted or Frederickstead? Same exact names. We call it Twin City. And, you know, at times Frederickstead, we call them Freedom City also after the emancipation. So anyway, let me take a look at this passenger's arrival. So in Christiansted, we have coming in on this jolly schooner from St. Thomas is Jane Andrew and her child, Francis. In August, also coming in from St. Thomas, is the policeman Miller, Maria Isabella Thomas, and Ludwig Lawson, who later became the appointed governors of the Virgin Islands. Okay. Now, coming into the Frederickstead Harbor on that same date was from St. Thomas was Amelia Burns, Elizabeth Jasper, and Mary Maduro. Okay. And then let's see who's leaving, right? You want to see who's leaving the island, who's coming out. And who's leaving Christiansted on the jolly companion schooner for St. Thomas is Captain H.P. Peterson and his son, H. Peterson. And they're going to Copenhagen, Denmark, and they're going to go through St. Thomas. How about that? Rosa Jackson and Jane Williams. Mr. Ebel. What? I have to find out who that is. That's my family named here in the Virgin Islands, the Bells, and J.P. Duncan and child are Albert Monsanto and Mr. William Hunter. You know, these passenger lists, when you see family names here, this is a very good place to go when you're doing your genealogy or your family tree, because a lot of times you get what they call a brick wall, because you can't find a census with your relative's name. But if you go to the newspapers, you might just find him in a paper like this. You know, oh, here he is. He's traveling. He's on his way to Denmark. That's why we can't find him in the U.S. Census data. So there you go. You're able to, when you're doing your genealogy, you know, you have a name and you have a name and a date. Well, you know, it's much more than a name and a date, right? Because there's a story behind it. They had lives too. They had occupations. They traveled, you know, they did some things. So that's just a way or a little a hint or a tip that you can use to find your ancestor, regardless of whether it's in the Virgin Islands, wherever. Try to find that old newspaper and see what's coming out of it. So here it is. I just want to show that they also published unclaimed letters in Christiansted. Now, you know, this is a time before phones, so now you could, but everybody was reading the newspaper. And so some folks had some letters there that they just didn't go and pick up yet. And Miss Eliza Andrew, her letter was sitting there. Miss Caroline Adams, Miss Ruth George, Mrs. Robert Hines, H. Nelthrop, Miss Elizabeth Peterson, Miss Fanny Simmons in the post office. And then we had some unclaimed letters in Frederickstead's post office. Jane Batchelor, Sarah Gasper, Thomas Lattimore, and here's some unpaid postage here with Mary Ellis, Amelia Marcus. Now, look at that. That's my great-great-grandmother, and she has some unpaid postage over there in Frederickstead. So that tells me, was she living in Frederickstead at one point? Because I always thought they were, you know, she always lived in Christiansted, but you know, this is how you could continue and go deep on your genealogy. But there she is, Amelia Marcus. She was married to Mr. Marcus before that. She had children with Mr. George Bow, and there comes August Bow and James Bow. She was the mother to James Bow, who was the first Attorney General in the Virgin Islands. But all of that you can find on my genealogical journey blog. So that link is always there, and you can take a look at how you could do some research on that end. But anyway, it's been a pleasure. I think what we're going to do next week, I found it very entertaining, but next time we get together, what I want to do is we will take a look at the address by the Reverend E. Luce, and he made this address to the Lutheran church, and it says that it will be found to contain many facts not likely to be known except to the author of the address, and yet being of very general interest. Sounds interesting to me. We'll get a little deeper on that one. But I just wanted to a little entertainment and let you see what they use, the strategies they use for advertisement, for medications that, you know, can help out. And I thank you for being here. And I want to tell you, we definitely want to give a heel up to those junior Calypsonians. They do a marvelous job. And I bet you don't know the name of that song. You wash your face in a sardine can. What? So I just want to tell you, stay informed with VI Headline Rewinds as we look at what's on the hearts and minds of Virgin Islanders a long, long time ago. I'm Shelley DeWeese. See you next week.